faith in God and trusting Him. So here we're learning the crisis of trusting God in our lives. Not just here, but this is where we have to make this consciousness of a faith and trusting God. Now we have to move to another area, and I'm really sorry because some very beautiful biblical words here have been abused, and I have used them myself in teaching. I've not used them in the manner in which they are given in Scripture. And so the best way I know how to word biblical words for what I want to say here and to give you an idea of what's going on, I'm going to call it this. We reach this point in our lives. This one's very, very important. And as we develop this, I'll show you how this works in people's lives, in the life of Christ, that Christ came in contact with, Jesus Christ came in contact with, and show you this aspect. But where are we going here? This is an act. This is an act, and it, you know, we can deal with this issue. So here's this issue. Now, where are we going, though? Because we've got to go on with all aspects of our life. So where is God taking us on this journey? Well, we come to the point, people, where you have a rest, and this comes from Isaiah 28, but many, many other places, and I'll take you on this journey of Scripture, but Isaiah 28 is really where a lot of what I'm getting ready to talk about started coming to me when I was in Arkansas last week. Right, we have the rest of our faith, the rest of our faith, the rest of faith, and the Holy Spirit. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to pull up our teaching that we did in Exodus, which was a very important study. And I'm beginning to see how important it was more and more. And that was our study on the obedience that God is looking for. Remember, if you remember that, we did about four or five lessons on the obedience that God is looking for. Because most Christians are hung up on the obedience that God is looking for. They're off. They want to do something. This is what God wants. Moral righteousness, learning doctrine, emotion, service, whatever it may be. Okay, here is the obedience that God is looking for. Here is all that you and I can do. This is, right there, is our obedience. And this is where our obedience stops. This is where our obedience stops. Now, what we do is we go on with, and I'm going to use this word, we go on with the activities of our life. We go on with the activity of our life, whatever the activity of our life is. You go on with this activity. Example, Jim is a eye doctor. Goes on with the work in the clinic. Chris is a salesperson. Duhan teaches classes. Every one of you have different things that you do in our work. In our social life, well, in our work and just things that we have to do in life. I'll just put things we have to do in life, at home, take care of our car, take care of things, that we just the activity we go on to in life. And then we'll talk about our social life, talk about the area of family, the things that we have to do in regard to family. All of the activities that we go on in life, in the local assembly. We just go on. Now, this has caused a lot of people problems, and I say a lot because I've been really hit. Okay, how can I go on with the activity? You know, we have this idea, I've got to keep thinking faith. I've got to keep thinking what I want to come out of this activity. No, you don't. You enter into your circumstances of life, the beginning of the day, just to make this point, we need each day, this rest of faith in the Holy Spirit, and then our obedience stops there. Now we go on into the activity of life. Now, what happens, if you remember our study on obedience, the Holy Spirit now goes to work. And he is the one who produces, if you remember that from that study, He is the one who produces the obedience that the world is looking for. See, when most Christians talk about obedience, they're talking about what the world sees out here when you and I are doing this activity. They're talking about what the world is going to see coming out from us in this activity. And so the Holy Spirit goes to work. And the main work of the Holy Spirit that we're going to talk about is spiritual love. Now, let me take it from here, and because I'm going to need more room for this. So we are at the point of the rest of your faith, our faith, the rest of faith in our faith is just now going to rest in the person of God the Holy Spirit. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go on with the activities of life. Whatever the activity is, whatever your work, whatever you're doing in life. So here's our activity in life that we have to think about. And this is important. You can't be thinking, and this is the problem that a lot of people have with a life of faith, you can't be thinking doctrine, you can't be thinking this or that, and while you're thinking about what you're doing. You're thinking about with Doc, you're thinking about the person's eyes, what's wrong, all the things that are in his head, and all of his thinking is in that area. He's not thinking about, spiritual love and all of the aspects of spiritual love, how I say this and what I say and what I do and all this type of thing. He goes on with the activity, giving that full concentration. So he's thinking about his work, thinking about what he has to do. Now, the Holy Spirit is at work, and he is producing spiritual love inside of the believer. Now, spiritual love does what spiritual love is designed to do. And something beautiful came across as we get ready to go back into all of the impact and effects of spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13. Many of those are in the negative. And I got to looking at that with all of this in mind. And there are two things. We can talk about the Holy Spirit, but I want to talk about spiritual love because the Scriptures talk about it in regard to spiritual love. The force. Remember, the spiritual love is a spiritual force. And that's important. The force of spiritual love, and let's draw from Isaiah 28. One of the first things that it does, and I'm going to go down here to do this, is that it reposes, lays at rest, because I got that from the Isaiah 28, and we'll go back and be looking at these things as we go through it. And one thing that it does, it reposes the things of our lower nature. We don't think about doing this. The Holy Spirit, spiritual love, just reposes, lays to rest the lower nature, the natural man. And I say lower, and I hope that's now going to start becoming familiar with you because of place. The lower place is earth, but our birth from John chapter 3 is upper. It's in the spiritual realm. So our lower nature, our natural person, the old man, the carnal person, all of these types of terms, well, all of this, there are things that will come out of our flesh nature. For an example, jealousy comes out of the natural man. Boasting comes out of the natural man. Arrogance comes out of the natural man. Picking these three, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is not jealous. Very interesting it said that. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant. Okay, what are those things? Those are things that come from the natural man. So the force of spiritual love, the first thing that it does is that it is going to repose all of these desires of the natural man. People, you and I don't do this. You and I don't think. I'm not going to be arrogant. I am not going to boast. I am not going to be jealous. We don't consciously make those efforts and thoughts. Now, I want to tell you what happens when we do. I'm going to jump to this. I'm going to be jumping around. And I'm just now, all this is just coming into play. But what happens is, okay, we go into an activity, and we're thinking, along with what we're doing, we're trying to get into our mind, okay, I want to say the right thing, I want to dress the right way, I want to do the right thing, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that, I want everything I say, I don't want to be jealous here, and I don't want to be boasting, and I don't want to do this. In other words, what we're doing is this. I am going to make spiritual love work. I am going to make this happen. I am going to be sure that out of my self-discipline, out of my just strong determination, my integrity, and I've learned now why people are very hot on my integrity, my virtue, because I'm working hard at it, and I want this to come through. Now, I want you to understand something from just down here. You can do it. And you can produce this. But let's see. Yeah, every one of you have been here through the whole thing. Let's see if this is going to make sense to you. I would like to put it out here. But let me show you what you're going to come up with when you do this. Look what you're going to come up with. You're going to come up. You're going to make it. You're going to produce something. And here's what you're going to produce. Ishmael. Remember our study? Abraham, he's going to make it happen. I want a son. I know how to do this. I know how to make a son. You get a woman, you have sexual intercourse, you fertilize the seed, and a son comes forth the natural way. That's the natural way. And you're going to have a son. And people make no doubt about it. Many Christians produce an Ishmael. They make it happen. And what did we learn about that? It looks good. It looks similar to what we think spiritual love is going to look like. It looks like the things that we are desiring. It doesn't really have a jealousy that's noticeable or boasting and arrogance and sport. And it's a son. And that's what I wanted. And I made it happen. And you will make it happen. Now, let's see what's happening in God's plan. Our rest of faith is in the Spirit. We're going on with our activity. We're thinking about our activity. And words that you're going to have to start getting really used to, words like hidden, secret, can't be seen, can't really grasp all that is going on. Look at Colossians 3 with me just for a moment. Let's this will be the new one. Some of these other things we have looked at in one way or another. But look at Colossians 3. Okay, Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Now that's from our study in John chapter 3. We are born from above. We're not born again. You know, we are, but that's not what the scripture says. We are born from above, another place. Very important is the concept of place, where Christ is. He's not here on earth. He's there, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above. Okay, here is your rest of faith in the Holy Spirit. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, watch what's happening. What I'm going to show you here is hidden. It's a secret. It's not seen by man how this is going on. Now, the first thing the Holy Spirit does is repose. It reposes all these things that come from the natural man, from our earth man. But what the Holy Spirit is doing now inside of us are all of the wonderful things that spiritual love does do. In other words, spiritual love bears all things. Spiritual love is compassionate. Spiritual love is kind. Spiritual love is long-suffering. We're going to go back and study this. Spiritual love is kind. Okay, people, and I've told you this several times, we're not studying these things so that you can go and make them happen and work at it. Just want you to know, so, and I'll tell you why in a moment, it's going to make sense. But I don't say, okay, I want my love to be long-suffering, so I'm going to make it long-suffering. I'm going to work at that. I want my love to be kind. I'm going to work at it. That's why I have fun. How many can really define what kindness looks like in every given circumstance? I can't. I don't know what it's going to look like in every given circumstance. I don't know what kindness looks like. So what is happening, spiritual love starts coming through. All of these things, all the characteristics of spiritual love start coming through, and now what is going to be produced in the midst of our activity is Isaac. And the most wonderful thing about this is, I didn't make it happen. When you and I can walk away from the activity of life, get on the other side of some activity, and we see Isaac, who, by the way, as you recall, is Jesus Christ, and the type of, but here's the reality of Jesus Christ. We see what has just happened in our lives. We look back at it, and we can honestly, and this is the key, I can honestly say, I did not make this happen. I did not make this happen. I did not go in thinking and concentrating and applying doctrine of long-suffering, of kindness, of compassion, of all of these things that spiritual love is. I didn't do it. I rested my faith in the Spirit. I looked back, and there it was. The supernatural way. The hidden way. The secret way. The world doesn't see what happened. All they see is just now. This is what the world sees. This is the obedience that the world wants to see right here. But I didn't make it happen. I didn't do it. God the Holy Spirit, with the force of spiritual love, reposing all of these things of my nature, produced in the midst of all of this activity, all I did was my thing, pardon the expression. I just did what I was supposed to be doing. My work, my activity in life, sporting, fun, social, work, home, family, whatever, enjoyment of life, whatever it is, but I'm my faith is resting in the Holy Spirit. I'm going on, and boom, this is what starts to come out of me, and I can truly and honestly say, I didn't make that happen. I didn't work at it. I know when I work at it, I know, boy, I've really got to work at being this, and I've really got to work at not that, and I've got to work at this. God, people, you're going to get a child. And the child is going to be a snail. And that most people are satisfied with this snail. It's a work of the flesh. The natural way. The gung-ho. The motivational speaker way. Get control of your life. Self-discipline. Self-motivation. Get responsibility and take responsibility and all of these things and individual integrity, individual responsibility. All of those things that praise man. And you'll make this happen. Yeah, you will. That's the whole story of Abraham, Isaac, Hagar, Ishmael, the whole story. Sarah. This one, Abraham didn't work. He didn't make this one happen. This was supernatural. This was natural. This is the natural way. Man and woman get together and have a kid. This was supernatural. He trusted God. No hope of it even happening. He just put his trust in God, and boom, it happened. So what starts happening in our life, people? People, we don't transform ourselves into the image of Christ. You can't do that. You can't make yourself holy like God. You can't imitate God. You can't do all of these things. You can put up the facade and make it happen and produce an Ishmael. And I'm being a little redundant right now on purpose, but this is what most Christians are satisfied with, is Ishmael in their life. Look at there. I have production. Boy, there's my son. I have it right there. The people that kiss me on. And you really won't know the difference until this starts happening in your life and you see this. And you know, I didn't make it happen. I just got up and did my thing. And I don't know where the words came from. I don't know the tone, the everything. Why this happened, why that happened. And you just, it starts to amaze you. You walk off sometime and you just smile. And somebody comes up and they even say, boy, that was really great. That what Christ really said. And you just smile and you go, I didn't make that happen. And if I can babble here a moment, well, I'd like to take credit for that. So you're complimenting it, and I wish I could take credit for it. But in my soul, I know I didn't do that. I didn't produce that peace. I didn't sit there in transcendentalism. I didn't sit there and meditate, contemplate, listening to beautiful music and sounds of the ocean, and have beautiful thoughts go through my mind and make that peace happen. People, you can do it. Transcendentalism works. It will produce a peace that you can make. It fits me out. It works. Human self-motivational speakers and all this stuff works. Self-confidence. Not the confidence of the fruit of the Spirit, but self-confidence. You can do it. Anyone can do it. If they set their mind to it, they can do it. And they will produce an Ishmael. We can look at all. Look at Galatians 5 with me a moment, quickly, please. Galatians 5. Let's look at Galatians 5. And let's just take a look at verse 22 and patience. You can get some motivational tapes on how to develop patience. You can do that. Kindness, we've already talked about that. Being good, faithfulness, self-control. People, there are some great motivational tapes out there. Have nothing to do with the spiritual realm. And these motivational speakers are good. I would tell you a tape I just heard the other night, but I don't think anyone here but Pastor Moore would even know who I'm talking about. But years ago, Gildersleeve got hold of self-motivational tapes on self-discipline, self-responsibility, and all of this stuff, and self-control, and the whole thing was on his doing it. People, it's there, and we can do it. But people, please understand, it's not Christ. It's Ishmael. You did it. You made these things happen in your life. Let's go on. We got self-control, the gentleness. Well, I don't know what that means, so I'm going to work at it. And I'm going to think what? I'm going to think about it in my activity at work. All day today at work, my mind is going to be thinking about gentleness. And it'll be there. If you've developed any self-discipline at all, you'll have gentleness at work. You'll look it up, get an idea of what it means. And you'll probably make some mistakes, too, at work, because you're making it happen. I made it happen. And this is what most Christians want to do. They want to make it happen. You don't make it happen. Now, I know I've been criticized of it, and this is really going to bring on criticism. You don't think doctrine. You don't think these things of life. You rest your faith in the Spirit. That's the obedience that he's looking for. And then the Spirit makes these things happen. That's why they have this story of Abraham and Sarah over and over and over. Abraham and Ishmael. So you get the keys which you want coming out of you. If you want an Ishmael, then you go and you work at it and you concentrate and you think and you apply doctrine and you work hard and you have self-discipline and you do all this stuff and you make it happen. Or you just have the rest of your faith. Just rest your faith in the Spirit, go on with your activity, and lo and behold, hidden and secret, Christ starts coming out from you. Any question or comment? Does this make sense? Does this not make sense? Put it that way. Okay. So this is what we're going to start seeing more and more. This is where we all want to get. We want to get to this point. And the only way we're going to get to this point is not by working hard and making it happen. We're not going to make Christ come out of us, people. You're not going to do that. That's why I love that Paul talks about Christ being formed in us in that Galatians passage as a birth. I am again in labor pain for you until Christ is formed in you. And you get to decide, you want to have the birth a natural way, the way man does it, and the way man does it is work hard. And this is the way most Christians talk about it, people. I don't have a percentage, I'm just going to say, most Christians tell you you've got to work hard. You've got to work hard at not sinning. All sin is, what is sin? Sin is, we've already seen. Look back up in our passage, if you're still here at the Galatians, look back up at verse 19. The deeds are the works of the flesh. So when the lower nature, when the lower man, the natural man, the earth man, the carnal man, is at work, we know what's going to come out from him. And we can overcome him with law, and we're going to make these other things happen, and there's this big struggle going on trying to make it happen. Or you can just rest your faith in the Spirit and let the Spirit bring about what he's supposed to. Yes. Thank you. Somebody's got a comment, a question, criticism. I don't care what it is.
As you were doing this, I was realizing that nobody can tell the difference either. I mean, at worst, I'm thinking to myself, supposed to be ambassador for Christ, but not the better word. And, like you said, yeah, it's secret. I mean,
couldn't.
Anybody else would think, you're so calm.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
The only you know.
We and God. And that's the one that counts. God knows. And the angels see. And I believe that we're going to be able to see eventually that those who are looking long enough are going to, in our lives, maybe a passing by person won't. Husband, wife, church, wife, they're going to be able to start seeing the difference. Because you're not making this is work. And you get tired of doing this. And the natural man, you know, finally comes up, this is rest. I'm just going to trust the Spirit to do this. And I think eventually there will be those who will say, there's something different here. There's something really different about you. There's something really different about what's coming out from you as opposed to some of my other Christian friends. So that makes a difference. Yes. Right. And I think eventually what she's saying is going to start happening. People are going to start seeing this. It's not going to happen overnight. And this is why what we studied in the Galatians thing was a lot of Christians get tired because this isn't really happening, so they're going to make it happen. This isn't really happening in my life, and I don't have that all that stuff I want, and so I'm just going to make it happen. No, people don't. Just continue to walk by faith in the Spirit. Trust the Spirit to do what he was sent to do. People, I'm telling you, it's so simple and it's so revolutionary. It just isn't being taught, and I'm not saying not ever before, because it has been taught before. I didn't get this originally. But it's rare as far as a lot of preachers, because they want their people to be doing something for God. And what God wants us to do is do nothing. Let me do it for you. And I will do it. So, yeah, I think that we're... Go ahead. Yeah, this looks good immediately. I can walk into the office, just using an office concept, and just take kindness, and have this happen today. But it'll be this now. And it won't be constant. This will be constant. This starts coming through. You're being transformed in this one, people. You're always going to have to work here because it's always against your nature. You're always going to be working here. This one, this is not a transformation inside of you. This one is a work. This one up here, you're starting to be transformed into your heavenly nature, into where you're from. You're from heaven. And I just hope that you can start appreciating the real depth of John 3. And Linda's mother, they're going to take her where? Home. Her home is Colorado. Our home is heaven. That's why we get to go back to the kingdom of God. I say go back. Well, I've never been there. Yeah, you were born from there. If you have accepted Christ as Savior, you have been born from above. You have come from above. And that's where you and I function. And that's why this is a hidden mystery. It's a hidden mystery as far as what? Planet Earth is concerned. They can't understand this. And the carry through this whole conversation tonight, people, is eventually it reveals that you are an alien, you don't belong here, and we talk about racism, and we talk about sexism, and we talk about all of this stuff, being a sexist and a racist and all. People do not like this. And what did Christ say? They hated me before they hated you. They didn't like me. They hated me. So, and if you start having me come out from you, not by your doing it, but by faith, they're going to hate you. They're going to realize you don't belong here. You're not one of us. You're an alien. You don't belong here. And they're going to start hating you. And that's what that passage that we're getting ready to go into in John is about. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. They hate it. Because I can meet this one, the unbeliever. We're no different than the unbeliever here. Unbelievers can work hard and be kind. Unbelievers can work hard for their self-control. You get you a good motivational speaker, and he will teach you to behave self-control. Get you a good coach. There was a coach in high school that taught me that. You didn't have self-control, and boy, I mean, squats, duck walks, and everything else. Because he was not going to have any kind of explosion on his team. Everybody had to be in control, and that's why he went to city championships year after year. I mean, I don't care what the referee's call is, what happened, you get knocked behind, or anything. You're not allowed. It is self-control. You just got to stay in control. Think about the game. People, a good person, meaning good in motivation, can teach you all of this stuff. That's not what this is about. We're not learning so we can do. Okay, why are we learning then? So that when this starts happening, we can see it ourselves. We start to, wow, look what's happening. It's working. This faith is working. Holy Spirit is doing this. I didn't do it. And for another reason. Let's say I'm in the activity of life. And this pops up. What do I know? I know I've dropped out of this, don't I? If I know what comes from this lower man, jealousy, boasting, arrogance, bitterness, anger, on and on and on, hate, First John is becoming so important to me. First John, hate. Hate people. You don't want to admit it, but it's hate. It's what it is. And if we will not deny this is hate, I'm not here. So it's good to know what comes from the natural man. It's good to know what comes from the Holy Spirit. Because in our activity, then all of a sudden, one of these things just starts creeping up in there, and we just, boy, where did that jealousy come? Oh, I know where it came from. And then don't go on some kind of a guilt trip. Just smile and say, well, I'm glad it happened because now I know I'm not here. This is where I want to be. And because that creeped in, I know I'm not there. So we want to know about this so we can tell. And we want to know about what spiritual love is going to produce, so when we see it, we can go, wow. And what can we say? I did not make this happen. It happened as a mystery. It happened hidden to me. It happened by the power of the Spirit.
When you said earlier, you know, obviously you said it so that it would make a sense to act. During our activity, we're not thinking doctrine.
Right.
And, you know, I was just thinking, oh, wait a minute, right? You know, and I am thinking, so I know what you're saying, but what I'm trying to think of is the Holy Spirit often causes us to stop and think. The Holy Spirit often puts thoughts in our minds in a spiritual way. And then thoughts can cause your mind. I mean, if I'm working hard, I'm going to do
it. Okay. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Yes. I'm not denying he will do that. I'm not denying he'll do that. But I'm in the activity. Let me just play this way. And I'm picking on my friend Jim. There are two different ways in which you can deal with a patient who comes in. And one, the whole momentum is kindness. Kindness in voice. Kindness in action. And what I'm communicating here is he's not thinking this. He's not thinking, what words do I say? I want to be sure I say the right words. I want to be sure I do the right tone. He doesn't do any of that. He just goes on with his patient, and the Holy Spirit produces this in him. Just produces it. And if a sound of anger comes through, then he knows, I'm not here. See? So the mind is not thinking, yes. Absolutely. That's why I say, we'll always have, as long as we're on earth, we'll always have the lower man here with us, in it. Huh? He will always be here. Now, the more that we learn to walk here, the more he is laid at repose. He is laid to rest. But he will always seek to get back in. He will always seek to get back in and make himself the issue in these things. But the more we do this, the more we do this right here, the less he's at work. Now, these things are not the Ishmael. The Ishmael, these things, and Blake worked the way that, these things are not the Ishmael. The Ishmael is a man, let's put it this way, a man-made kindness. Yeah. It's a man-made kindness. It's a man-made gentleness. They're all there, yes. Yes. And inside of him he's fighting. When we're making this, boy, the flesh self is not at repose because he's right there. He's the one producing this. So believers have this great thing going in. I want to make this happen. And the okay, you can make that happen, but it's for you. So a person can be very kind, motivated out of arrogance. A person can be very gentle, but it's self-interest totally. Yes. Yeah, the totalness will be when we're in heaven. Yeah, when we leave this body behind, when we drop this body and leave it on earth, the lower realm, and we go to the upper realm and receive an upper realm body, resurrected body, none of this goes with us. None of this goes. That's right. That's why I said, if jealousy comes creeping in, don't get all bent out of shape about it. Just kind of smile at yourself. Say, well, I'm kind of glad it happened. It let me know something. It let me know I'm not resting by faith in the Spirit here. And I just get back to resting in the Spirit. And boom. That's why I said, all of this stuff of taking time out for confession and repentance and stuff. No, jealousy came in. Boom. I recognize it. No, that's what they, I know I'm not. So I just go back to resting in the Spirit, and people get back to the power of the Spirit. And he's back doing his work, and spiritual love doing its work. Sure. Yeah. And when you say human, let's be sure that we understand we're talking Christian. Because this is what a lot of Christians put forth. it's like this church over here at Arlington. I mean, I read the whole article, but I think it was like he had 50 things you do for each of the 9 fruit of the Spirit to make them come about in your life. 50 things that you concentrate on. So you had 9 times 50, 450 things they had to think about. 450 things to constantly think about to have the fruit of the Spirit happen in your life. Or you can just rest your faith in the Spirit and let Him do it without you even trying. And when you see it start coming through, wow, I didn't do this. It's hidden. It's a secret. But the flesh self always wants to take control. It wants to make whatever good I want to do. It wants to boast itself, be in control, control everybody, do everything, have all of this. But this one just, the rest of faith, boom. It's not I who lives. Here I live. But it's not I who lives. Look at Galatians chapter 2. So thankful we do Galatians. I know we're going to do Revelation, but boy, I'm really trying to do Colossians. Galatians chapter 2, look with me verse 20. Now this I, you recall, refers to the lower nature. This I refers to my carnal self. Okay, I have been crucified, that means set aside, put away, lose all its power with Christ. And it is no longer I who live. Okay, here's the word live here. This is going on with your activities. This is your activities in life. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Okay, He lives in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, okay, here's my activities of life. There are the things I've got to go through, cooking and sewing and cleaning house and doing this and doing that. Where did sewing come in? Just all the things that we've got to do in life, here they all are, and I'm doing it. Okay. Now, and the life which I now live, meaning now that I'm saved, now that I'm a new creature, I now live in the flesh, that's in this body on earth, I live by faith of the Son of God. And the faith of the Son of God is in the Holy Spirit, who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. Look at 2 Corinthians. Go back here to 2 Corinthians a moment. Let's just look at another one that comes to mind. Chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in there we see, he says, okay, yeah, verse 14. For the love of Christ, and there's that love issue, the force of love, controls us. Okay, now, here's what we're talking about. All I do is walk. I walk with this rest of faith. I'm just resting my faith in the Spirit. He pours in spiritual love. Romans 5:5. He pours in. He pours in spiritual love. Spiritual love now takes control. It reposes, when it's in control, it reposes all of these things. Love is not jealous, boasting, arrogant, none of these things. Love is not that. It reposes all of these things. It's in control now. And so all of the wonderful things of love start coming through. Okay, so let's continue. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all, that they who live, that's us living on earth, should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. People, we do not, you know, I know there are Christians that if Paul, probably when he said it here, but if Paul were to say this today, they would jump all over him like he's mocking Christ when he says this. We know Him no longer in the flesh. In other words, we don't follow Jesus in the flesh anymore. We're going to walk by faith in the Spirit. He is going to manifest Christ in us. Therefore, in verse 16 he says, though we have known Him, Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. We don't know him according to the flesh. How do you and I know Jesus Christ? We know Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit, born in spiritual life, and we start seeing him come through us. Alright, just continue reading. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, born from above. Old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through the person of Christ. Remember, this is what Christ is all about, to bring us to God. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're here for, both for the unbeliever and believer. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Christians love to count trespasses against people. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Look back at 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. Okay, now, what does that mean? People, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, what we are is an open letter. An open letter. Now, we're going to come to this in our study of one another, but just look at 2 Corinthians. Let me just, so you'll see the thought process. Look at 2 Corinthians 3 with me. Let me show you something here. 2 Corinthians 3, and we're going to look at the beginning. You can get on down later on in the in it, but look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2. You are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, in other words, the law on stone, but with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, the law, but on the tablet of human hearts. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about this mystery, this secret. And what is slowly happening as you walk in the Spirit is slowly process of this starting to take place where Christ starts coming through to you. Let's see, also in that same passage, if you look at verse 12, having therefore set our hope, we use great boldness in our speech. Now, what's the hope? What's the hope? The hope is right here. People, as I walk by rest of faith in the Spirit, there's a hope. Confidence, that's what the word means, confidence. Confidence that this is going to happen. I'm not going to make it happen. I just have the confidence it is going to happen. If I would just walk, resting my faith in the Spirit, this will happen. I have that confidence. I don't have to make it happen. I will become a letter. Christ will be born through me, come out through me. I'll be transformed into his image. And the world will see the obedience that they're looking for, this obedience of Christ. And I did not make it happen. That's why it's called a hope. And what happens is, a lot of Christians grow weary, and they come down here and going to make it happen. They go have a birth by the flesh. They go have a birth by law. They're going to make Ishmael occur. They don't want this. This takes time. How much time? In every one of our lives, it's different. Every one of our lives. That's the journey that God has taken us on. And this is why we encourage one another, pray for one another, forgive one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens. All those one another's that we've been studying. Why? So that this can happen in their lives too, as well as in ours. Because this is what we desire, that the world and that the angels and that man and that we even will see the true Isaac, the true Jesus Christ coming through, not made by man. Make sense? Anything? Okay. We're going to continue working on this and slowly start putting more and more things together. And I know some of you read the scriptures and the Spirit tells you to read. You see things drawn to my attention as I'm just putting together more and more, coming off of the study of obedience that he's looking for, the hidden and secret. this is all done in the hidden secret way, and the impact of spiritual love, the difference between us making it happen and God the Holy Spirit making it happen, producing Isaac in our lives. That is closing the word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, Father, we just so thank you for opening our eyes week in and week out, that we can see what's going on in Scripture. Father, we just thank you so much for sending us your Spirit, that He can reveal these things if we're just letting. That He will cause these things to happen. We don't make them happen. And when this happens, and it happens this way, when it's by the power of the Spirit, you are glorified. And we praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen. To think about it and get any questions or comments, let me know.